This is Kurt.
This is Jason.
And this is Tracy.
Wow, why are you louder than everybody else on this?
Honey, I'm always loud.
You are. Yeah, that's why I love you.
I'm not surprised at all.
Hey, you're loud too.
I'm just taking the opportunity to have somebody louder than me.
And you're talking tenderly right now.
Yeah. I am very tender.
Yeah. I'm usually the one that I have to crank up the volume on mine.
Tender is not one of the first words describing you ever.
I don't know. I feel very
tender. I don't know. When I'm with him, I'm tender. And he's tender.
Whoa.
Hey, guess what? Ayo. This is the MFG Cast. All right, welcome to another episode of this, whatever the hell this is.
Welcome to the chaos.
We're in a good mood today, aren't
we? Yeah, we are.
You know why?
It's going to be 72.
We're in Wisconsin and sun is back. I'm so
for one day at least until it gets.
You know what? Don't rain on my sunshiny parade. Spring is here. Love is in the air.
That's true.
That's because last weekend we had a blizzard, and this weekend we have 72.
Yeah.
What in the world?
We live here.
I'm very happy. I have a.
I'm here for it.
I'm in a good mood again.
Nice.
Spend some time outside. I might go kayaking later.
Kayaking in this weather?
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about a board game.
All right, let's talk about a board game. We are going to be talking about Trick-It Trove. It's designed by Rocco Provetera, if I'm saying that right.
I thought you were going to say Rocco Desperto.
Tomato, potato.
With Paul Solomon and Sandra Tang. Publisher is Gamehead, which is very problematic to me. I don't know. I don't know what it is for some reason. That, I don't know.
Why is it problematic?
Because
it's Gamehead?
Yes, it just sounds wrong.
What?
Sorry, Gamehead.
What,
Nope, we're not talking about that. That's not this podcast.
I've never heard of Gamehead.
What, what rating are we going to give this one? What can I say next?
100%.
I love Gamehead.
Bing bong.
They brought on a good game here.
They sure did.
I did really like this one.
Yes. Trick-It Trove, you are little mices. You're collecting.
Mices.
You're collecting treasures.
I believe it's meese.
Trinkets, if you will.
Yep.
Because you just love all the little crap and you're just trying to get as much of it as possible.
Right. So it's basically where all the cards just have stuff and you get a little piece of game piece that has your mouse on it with your name and a picture of you, and then all the stuff that you're gathering is just stuff, trinkets and everything, so on the cards. So it's very much just a card game,
mm-hmm.
but you get to pretend you're a mouse.
Yes.
Tracy, our fans here can't see your face, but you are very excited about something.
So,
right now.
A group of mice is commonly called a nest or a mischief.
Ooh.
A mischief
I like
of mouses.
That. A mischief I of like mices.
I knew it. You know how like there is like a murder of like crows? Is that
oh,
is it crows?
Yeah. I thought you were talking.
There's a murder. There's a murder.
On the Orient Express.
I had to look it up while you guys were talking because I'm like, there has to be something fun with a group of mice. So I looked it up and it's a mischief.
That's
or
fine.
A nest. Okay.
So we are just a. So the game is you're a mischief of mice collecting
nice.
Trinkets and troves.
Yeah.
In troves.
I thought that was kind
yes.
of fun. That's why I was all smiley.
So it's just. So this isn't technically a board game, it's a tabletop card game?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because
collecting game.
We've had this conversation before.
Right.
It's like
I'm going to
what's a board game? You know, it's like everything's a board game, but it technically isn't as well. You know, it's interesting.
This one doesn't have a board,
this
so
it's a tabletop card collection game.
Yes, that's
yeah.
right.
Imagine.
Yeah,
you are
you're
learning
doing,
so much.
Yeah. It's the industry
I'm proud
term
of you.
The industry term is set collection.
Ooh, it is a set collection
you're
game.
You're collecting sets. But you're also auctioning because you're being like, you know what? I bid 10 points in these cards.
Yeah. Yes, queen.
But not verbally. You're just laying right. your cards on.
I mean, I did it. I was like, 11 points in that cards. I wasn't. But
what is happening?
Yeah. So basically, yeah, you're depending on player player count, you're setting as many cards down, and then you're also what? You're taking a card from the turn.
Yeah, so you lay out. So we played a 4-player game.
Yeah.
We had a friend Hunter that joined us for the first time ever to play a little games while Mike was out doing fun family things. So you lay down in a 4-player game, you lay down 4 cards out of your card stack, if you will. And next to it, you lay down 6 other cards sideways. That is because this game is 6 rounds, which is insanely short. So it's very difficult to play this game. Like,
And that's for 4-player, right? I think it's different for higher counts.
Yeah, I think it's only 5 rounds for higher counts, if I remember.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so you lay down 4 cards. And then you take the top one off of the timer stack and put it with that first stack. Then you go around in player order and decide who is going to bid first. So if you bid, you can bid 0 cards, 1 card, or your whole hand of cards. And then on each card, there is a number. If there's a tie if Kurt and I each lay down 2 cards, but mine has a 3 and a 7 and his has a 2 and a 3, I'm going to go before him because mine is a higher total number. You bid what you want. Then the person that bids the most gets to pick 2 of those piles first. So when you after everybody bids, there's going to be 8 stacks. So the first person then gets to pick their first 2. Then the next person gets to pick the next 2. Then the next person and so on and so forth till the last person gets the last 2 left. Then within that, you're trying to stack up those cards within your hand to get matching pairs, quads, whatever.
Yeah.
Because each one will have a different total on it of victory points. You're just trying to, at the end of the game, have the most victory points in your hand, and you're able to give those away, gain throughout the hand. So at any point in the game, your hand is possibly going to look totally different by the time you get to the end.
Yeah, for sure. And there's also a little caveat of when you grab those stacks, too, that you can't grab the stack that you bid on.
Right.
Unless you're that last person in that turn order that's able to grab, and that you basically, that's your only choice.
Right, which is kind of a goofy little strategy with it where you can lay out cards, like if there's something, like there's one stack, you wanted that first stack, or you wanted 2 individual cards because they just match what you wanted. So you have 3 cards in your hand you don't want. So you take those 3 and you put them out there, and then everybody else is like, well, we don't care. We don't want any of this stuff. So they just throw out 0s, and now you can't take your own, and you maybe kind of get pinched where you're not actually getting what you wanted.
So another cool thing about this is one of the cards, or one of the items, is a mirror, which is like a wild card that will pair with any of the collections you're trying to do. So if you're trying to collect a set of marbles, then you have a mirror card. It will be included with your set to kind of get you to, I don't remember how many marbles you have to collect, but
they all have individual numbers.
Number 7 or 8 or something like that.
Change like what you get for victory points, which actually
we should talk about
is another good point to bring up. Like within those collections, so some of the trinkets you only need to get 2, and that gets you the max points on that card. Others you need to have 7 of that individual trinket to get the max points on it. But some of them you might get like 5 points for 1, 10 points for 2, 0 points for 3.
That's the crown.
10 points for 4, and then 180 for 7 of them.
Yeah.
So like you got to really kind of play that part of it and trying to decide on your trinkets to go for. And then if other people notice what you're doing, like Tracy was very much paying attention to mine every single game we played. You're a liar. Every single game you pointed out, well, I'm going to take gems because Jason's taking gems. Well, I'm going to take buttons because I just noticed every time, every single one we did, you called out to the table what I was collecting.
Hey, the rule in this game, I don't think it says table talk, is not allowed. Also, something to note is the stack of cards is so big, you may not see another gem or another feather or another crayon again. So you could be going to collect the full max of those that you can score. So you can score 175 or 180 points, but you may never see it. And you could end up with a lower amount. So you kind of have to decide how you want to play that too, because you could be like, oh, I'm shooting for all these feathers, and you may never see them again because the stack still has 60 cards in it.
There's
or something.
So many. And I don't, I'm torn on whether that's a perk and an addition to this game that makes it semi-difficult and makes it fun, or if it's just too many cards and it kind of takes away from it,
but
because you almost have to focus on some of those other ones. I think it really adds a specific strategy to it, because it does add to some of the luck of the draw with it, where you maybe are better off going for some of those where you can just collect two and get 35 points as opposed to needing to get seven to get 180 points, because you're never going to get that seven unless all of a sudden, like, you open up with a certain amount, and then that first round you maybe get another chunk of it, because you can't really play the game planning on getting seven of anything. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Unless they all of a sudden...
Unless you get lucky in a specific situation. I think it happened for one of us, other than me, every single game.
What was it? Feathers or something we laid out, or lures, like we would see like a whole chunk of them. But I, to your comment on the huge stack of cards, it has to happen because I think this plays up to six people. So if we didn't have that, if we didn't have that many, then you wouldn't be able to do it. But also, like, then it leans to people maybe potentially having more movement in the game if they aren't seeing what they want, to be able to play cards down to kind of get stuff moving versus flipping their mouse over. And I don't know if we talked about that, flipping your mouse over to zero and then flipping up the top card instead if you don't want to take any cards from your hand.
I think another thing too is, like, we immediately got into where if somebody didn't really know what they wanted, they just bid zero and were going right off of what they had. Where if people were, like, seeing what they wanted, like, we could have been bidding two, three, four, each of us each time, and we would have had so many more cards in play.
Yeah.
But it was like every single round for us, and I don't know if that's a reflection on us as people, because all of us were doing it, of going, well, I'm not going to get those first cards that I want, so I'm just going to get another card into play, and I'm just going to go zero, and I'm going to get one out of my hand instead of going, you know what, I want more cards in play here, I'm going to make a bid, I'm going to go bigger, I'm going to get more cards out here, I know I'm not going to get what I have in my hand, so I'm going to give away these three, and if somebody else gets them, so what? Because I was looking at it going, well, I've got three of this one in my hand, I don't want to give that, because what if somebody else has three of this in their hand and now they have six cards, where maybe the opposite would have been a little bit better if everybody was going, you know what, I'm going to bid three this time, and we all were bidding three. We would have had so many more cards in play. There would have been so much more betting.
That would have been interesting.
The game would have been 100% different. I don't know if it would have been better or not, but it would be very much different, because we were almost at a minimum of cards to be played each round.
So I played it a couple different ways depending on the game. So, like, when we first started and I had cards that none of them matched, then I bid zero because I didn't know which one I wanted to get rid of, and I wanted to see all the cards that were out there. But then when my hand was full of collections of things, I didn't want to start getting rid of any collections, and so that's when I also bid zero, because I was hoarding my cards.
Yeah.
And I was, because I'd have like three keys or five feathers or something like that, and I didn't want to break them up.
Yeah, I think we had so many times where
three or all four of us bid zero. As we rarely had a time where everybody made a bid.
Yeah.
So, like, I really do think we had, like, the minimum amount of cards in play at any time that we could because nobody was bidding any of their cards, which I think would change the game significantly.
Yeah.
If we were all bidding, you know, if the first bid came out and the next person went, well, I'm going to bid three because I like what's out there. And then, I'm going to bid four.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to bid three with a higher point total on them to get ahead of you. And then the next person, I'm going to take both of you guys in a bid four just because I don't really like what's in my hand. I don't have full. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have completely changed the game.
Well, I think it all depends on players' personalities too, because I can automatically think of another person that we've played with that would probably bid a bunch of cards and be like, I want this thing that I want. So they probably do it all the time. Another thing I think we kind of failed to mention with the zeros as well is that when you play a zero, you go to the end of the line because you've basically bet nothing.
Yep.
And then if somebody else bets zero, after you've done that, they go in front of you.
Yep.
And then what happens is after you do the bidding and you grab those cards, wherever you are in player order, then you go for betting for the next round, whoever's first, second, third, and fourth on that line. So that changes player order. So that's another thing that is kind of cool about this game.
And maybe we were a little bit more conservative too because of how the cards laid out in general and how they were in our hands when they were dealt to us. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird because we played, four times?
Yeah.
Four or five?
More. Yeah, it was a lot.
Four or five times. Yeah, I don't know. And I think if we hauled it out again, maybe you're right. Maybe we would.
Yeah.
We could make a house rule and be like, this time we're going to go.
No bidding.
We have to go all in. Yeah.
Which you could, yeah.
I think if you just made a house rule of no zeros.
No zeros, yeah.
I think it would. I think this game would benefit. I actually think that maybe is a detriment from it because it's such a short game that if you have somebody, even if you have one person that's bidding zero each time, it minimizes the cards that you have. So now that we're talking about it, I feel like.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, we'll see. That can be an experiment that we can talk about on the show later.
And all that, none of this is saying this game isn't hella fun.
Oh, yeah, it's super awesome. Yeah. I was just going to comment just for half a second, too. I know for a fact that when we were playing, like, there were times that I could have given up on some of the things that I was getting. Like, if I was going for the feathers and I was like, I'm not going to get higher than 15 points in the feathers, I could have used those higher cards to bid for other stuff that I could have done, but for some reason just didn't do.
I did the same. Yeah. Because I didn't want to give those to somebody else, like we were saying.
If they already had some.
I could use those three and guarantee myself to go first and get something else. But seeing as nobody else was bidding, I was very nervous that somebody else already had three. So now I've given you enough to get your full stack, knowing full well that as soon as I do that, everybody behind me is just going to lay zeros. So there's not going to be anything. There's no incentive to go big like that because that zero is an option.
Yeah.
But I feel like as we progressed in our gameplay, we realized what items potentially that we maybe didn't want to collect as much because they weren't as much of a big bang for our buck. Like the bottle caps, you needed like five of them before the points changed from 5 points. Like you had to collect like four of them and you were still only getting 5 points. And then it moved to like 10 points and then like 25. And I remember the first game I was collecting them and I guess I must not have paid attention because that was my worst score was the first game. And everyone, you scored like 900 points. Yeah. Okay, you really did.
My first game, I scored like a friggin' billion points. Like and then
260.
Yeah, and then the rest of the game I did shit.
And then all of a sudden it's like I don't know if I just figured it out.
Yeah.
I or collected the right ones or I don't know, something worked out, but I'm like, there are certain ones where you just I didn't want to play with.
Yeah. Well, another cool thing about this game too is if you get to the max of a certain item, you can start another stack of an item. But also it kind of sucks too, because if you accidentally miscalculate and you're like, I've got 8 of these feathers and that one only got me 5 points and I thought I had 7 and that was it, I could have used that card for something else.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, and that's how I tried on one of the games, because we did play it enough. We had to try out some different strategies. So one of mine was that right away there was a few of the different ones where you only collected 2 and you would get either 35 or 45 points for those 2. so I was kind of looking at that, paying attention to what people were grabbing and not grabbing, because we were all kind of, the majority of the time, trying to go for at least pick out one of those where you could get a whole bunch of cards and get a huge amount. And I'm like, well, maybe if I have six different things in my hand where all of them are only collections of two, then I'll be good to go. Except every player has one big one that they're going for, which maybe cross lines with the other players, but then everybody else is also collecting those other little ones. Yeah. So it was like every time I was like, all right, sweet, I'm going to collect, you know, buttons or whatever the ones were that had two, then it was like every single time somebody else would grab the ones right ahead of me that I would need. And seeing as there weren't cards getting put out and then nobody would put those back into play as bids because they had their two, it ended up being really tricky to go that way about it too. I do think that is one of the times I got the most points that I got, but I never got, like, I never won. Like, yeah, I never got that many points. Yeah. I feel like I tried almost every strategy I could other than just bidding all of my cards.
Well, I think as we went and played more and more, our scores started becoming closer and closer together too. Sometimes.
I think every game we had a winner that just blew it all away, because, and I feel like it's you, it's what you start with and that first bid, because there's so few rounds.
Yeah.
I feel like this game would actually be better if it had, if you did 10 rounds.
Yeah.
Just to do a little bit more. I don't necessarily know that that's the case. Maybe maybe that does make it so now everybody just has a whole bunch of points.
Yeah.
As opposed to everybody, like, struggling. Because this game is struggle. Like, yeah. It is straight up struggling.
It is, because you're just grabbing what you can, which goes with the theme.
Yeah, just absolutely. To get what you it can. All makes sense. Yeah. And it's very fun. It's frustrating in a fun way. Yeah. But at all times, you're getting to make decisions, and your hand is literally never the same two hands in a row.
Yeah,
you're always adding and subtracting and trying to decide, like, what is my best bet here while trying to think what other people are doing. It's a cool, like, I mean, it's just a straight-up trading cards auctioning game, but it really has a fun twist on it.
It does.
Yeah, it's really cool. Very frustrating. Yeah.
I feel like it could also benefit from, like, small expansions. Like, you could add more trinkets to it and swap out stuff.
Yeah, I think some
that
more,
kind of thing.
Something added to, like, the wild cards, because there's just the mirrors, but with the minimum cards that were coming into play,
we didn't see them.
I don't think any game had more than. I think we had one game that had two, because one came out right away and one came out later. Other than that, we never saw any mirrors, and you can't start with mirrors, which takes them out of play right away. I do think that's a negative. You should be able to start with a mirror.
Yeah.
Oh, and I was gonna say, I think it makes sense that you can't start with a mirror.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I feel like you're at a major. I started with a mirror. Well, okay. So we were handed four cards, and I know we can't start with mirrors. And then I was like, oh yeah, this is awesome. And then I realized, like, as we started playing, that I had to hand my mirror back because I kept it in my hand. And then I was like, damn it, this would have been great. Like, it would have been very beneficial, but at the same time, I feel like it was kind of like a OP, like a little bit overpowering to start with this.
I think if there was more in the game and there was other wild cards, that it would add to this game for sure, because everybody is just trying to collect. Like, even if there was, like, some attack cards or something in there where you, like,
that'd be kind of fun.
You know, have to discard one card from your biggest pile or whatever, stuff like that. Where,
how would you use those though?
You know, if they were in the stack, like, if you bid that out, you know, if you draw it in your hand, like,
you could keep somebody else from getting something.
Right. Where if, like, I could see where if you, if it gets laid out and you take it, when you take that card into your hand, you know, discard two cards out of your biggest current collection. So then you have to discard those ones out.
Yeah.
You know, I could see stuff like that.
Like, you can have these beautiful cards, but you also got to get.
But now that one is in your hand, so now you can use that one for bidding and put, like, a big number on it, so that, you know, if I put out three cards and that's one of them, because you obviously don't want that in your hand, and you get rid of two other cards that you don't want, now that is out there. Somebody's going to have to take that
that pile. Now they're going to have to discard too. Yeah. Like I can see stuff like that. And then along with the wild where it's just adding a card to your hand of your choice, which considering you can do multiple piles of the same trinket, some of those where you can have where you have to gather three. So cool, I've got three and it's, oh sweet, now I got two and I've got this other one. Now I've got two piles of three. Now I've got a ton of points there.
Or you could even say like stop thief or something like that, where you could steal somebody else's something too. You just be like, call out a card,
they
I could steal.
Call it Trinket Trove the Rusty Expansion.
There you go.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of like Hunter was saying that was playing with us, his family and friends have a lot of house rules. Mm-hmm. I think this is one where you could have some fun expansions with it. I think mm-hmm. house rules could really play into mm-hmm. this one. Then that's not to say that just playing it by the book isn't fun. Like this is like mm-hmm. we just busted right through this one. And there's been plenty of times where we play quick playing games like this, which this plays very fast. You can be done with this game easily in 5 minutes. Like very easily. You can run through all the, if everybody's paying attention and going quickly, you can knock this one out of the park. And with some of these games like this in the past, it's been like, okay, we've done this a few times. Should we try another game right now? And then we switch it up. Or with this,
yeah, we were really busting through them though.
With this one, it was like, we did 2 full hours of this game where we just kept going through it.
We played 5 times.
Yeah, and we just kept playing. It was mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that we've had a quick playing game like this where we haven't been like, well, let's try something else now too. Even when we loved them, this was the first time I think we've ever just been like, let's just play this one. Let's do this one more time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that happened 3 times.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I like games like that because again, it shows you the replayability and it hooks its nails in or hooks its little mouse claws into you. Yeah, so you just want to keep playing it just to see. I know. But yeah. Yeah, I really like this game. Again, it's another one of those games, too, where you could like play it on a plane or play it at a restaurant or something like that. Like, it's real quick and easy. It doesn't take up much space.
Well, and I know there is a 2-player version of it, too, where I believe you threw in another one of the characters mm-hmm. in or something like that. And it seemed like the 2-player game would even, like, it would be a different game, but I think it seemed like it was an actual fun one where it wasn't just like, oh, this kind of sucks and like that fake player has no chance whatever. Like I know I watched a video on it and the couple that was playing with the fake player said that they had to change their strategy from playing with people because the fake player kept winning.
Which is awesome because I guarantee you it probably makes them aggressive, which you know us as players weren't doing. So it makes you play differently.
Yeah, I think that this game has got a lot of playability. I think it is a cool game where you can do a lot with it and play it over and over and do it different ways. Yeah, good game.
Yeah, for sure. So if you're looking for a fun little cute card game like that, go to your local game store, shop local. Pick out Trinket Trove.
And this is one we didn't mention. You could very easily play this one with little kids.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yep, as long as they can understand numbers and collections, mm-hmm. you know, one being bigger, like you could easily play this one. I think probably 7. If you had a smart 7-year-old, mm-hmm. maybe smart 6-year-old. Oh, my God,
you could go lower than that.
Maybe.
Or a dumb 10-year-old.
I'm a dumb 45-year-old. Exactly. I figured it out.
Exactly.
Never won, though.
Yeah. That's because I kept calling you out.
Yeah, you did.
Oops, I brought
it up. She does it every week. I'm not mad, Tracy.
Unless we're on the same team.
That's true. You guys are a formidable team, which will never happen again.
Team talking.
I'll never let it. Team talking. That is very true.
We need shirts.
Get those made.
Team talking. I know your guy. It's a great game.
It is. Very great game. So, yeah. So, go look it up. Pick it up.
Shop local.
And let us know what you need. Talk to Gamehead about creating that expansion called Rusty.
Yeah. The Rusty expansion. Yep. Give a couple shuckles to Tracy.
Shuckle.
All right. We're going to go. Thank you again for listening.
<gonna go. laughs>
Thank you for listening. And as always, I am Kurt.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Tracy.
And this was the MFG Cast. I love you. You almost didn't add it and you did anyway.
Oh, I was going to get it.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.